Well, it's my joy to be here in lieu of Pastor Dan. I love it. I don't love it when he's not here. That's recorded. I don't love it when he's not here because I miss him when he's not preaching. But I love that we have a pastor that says, I want the whole counsel of the Word of God and different people sharing it. And I hope that you have been watching online and hear each and every message that has been released on the rivers of living water. Can you say rivers of living water? If you've missed one, can you please take some time to watch online any one of the sermons by Pastor Joel, Pastor Kevin, and because they grow one on top of each other. And our whole heart is simply that we would learn and understand and grow in the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? See, during this season of Pentecost, we've been learning about the person of the Holy Spirit, the one who is relationally connected to each one of us. He is not goosebumps. He is not the hair on the back of your neck that stands up. He is not a feeling or a vibe. He is one of the Trinity, the Godhead. He is a person that wants relationship with you, wants to talk to you, walk with you, and work with you for his kingdom to come here on earth. Can you say amen to that? That is the Holy Spirit. I kept hearing the Lord say to me last night and this morning, we want and we pray and we sing for heaven to come here on earth. I'm going to say it this way. It cannot happen outside of the partnership with the Holy Spirit. The access we have to heaven here on earth is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, if you want the fullness of what I have for you here on earth until his kingdom really comes, you've got to do it through the Holy Spirit. What a powerful friend to know. I don't know if you know politicians or business owners. It's the Holy Spirit that you got to know if you want the full access to what heaven has. We've gotten to know him as a person and the fullness of the kingdom of God that is made available through him. We've been able to learn about his character transforming power. How many have loved that lately? I love when he prunes me and makes me more like Jesus. Amen. It hurts, but it hurts so good, right? It hurts so good. And our family all around us is like, do it some more, Lord. Do it some more. Make him kinder. Make him gentler. Make him more patient. Hallelujah. He's doing an inner work in each one of us that then begins to model him on the outside of us. And Pastor Kevin shared so beautifully last week that he wants to walk with us day in and day out. He wants to know your business, every part of your business. He wants to know when you wake up. He wants to know all the things. You know, Pastor Nina, who was one of our pastors for many years and is the leader of the Well Ministry. Let me tell you, I don't know anybody who more says this, well, the Holy Spirit just told me. And the Holy Spirit said, I said, stop saying that. And she said, why? Because he is always talking to me. Because that's how he wants to do. She'll say, well, then the Holy Spirit was like, and then, like he's talking to a girlfriend. And then he said, and then what he said was, when the Holy Spirit is walking with you in life, he wants to know you just like that. He is in you and he is on you and he is with you always. And I felt, and I said this at our earlier service at Kempsville, the Holy Spirit impressed on me. He said, I am not a skittish spirit. I will stick to you just like I rested on my son. When I rested on Jesus, I did not move. And Jesus, who is in you, causes me to not move from you, no matter how skittish you might be. The Holy Spirit remains. He remains. He remains. Now, whether we access him or not is a whole other conversation. But he is not going anywhere because Jesus said when he left, I will leave you a comforter who will be with you and on you. John chapter 15, and he will never leave you. You can't get away from the Holy Spirit. David prophesied that in the Psalms, and he says, where can I go from your presence? Where can I hide from you? How many know sometimes when he's trying to prune you, you're trying to hide? You trying to hide. My cat, y'all heard about my cat? I got this cat. It's so cute. I got a cat. My cat has a tail this long. She's hysterical because she will hide, but her tail will be sticking out as far out as possible, and she's convinced I can't see her. I think that's us with the Holy Spirit. You can't see me. And I'm like this. And he's like, I totally can see you because I'm the Holy Spirit. You cannot hide from me. And he's like, but I don't want you to hide because what I have for you is great. But what I believe that we've been doing over the last few weeks is talking about how the Holy Spirit wants to come, be with us, be in us, transform us. And it's very me-centric, very us personal. And that's where he always starts. But today I want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when we begin to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it starts going from the inside of me to what he uses in me for everybody else. See, the gifts of the Spirit empower the believer to bless the body of God. Can you say amen to that? He wants to use you, all the relationship he has built with you, all of the refining he has done with you, all of the practice of, and then he said, and then I said, and then he said, to now begin to empower you to minister to the people all around you. But he never does it without our permission. He never does it outside of our cooperation. He never does it outside of our saying yes. And I know I'm being heard by a lot of folks who say yes a lot to the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? But sometimes the gifts have gotten a bum rap. My husband, who is awesome, I say that every time, especially when he's in the room. My husband hates squash. In fact, he hates all orange vegetables. If it's orange, he does not like it. I don't care how good it is to you, he will not like it. He does not like it. In fact, he hates it. Squash in particular. And because he's a grown man and he is a man of God, every year I make him try squash again, just to see if you know how you change and your palate change. I'm like, I don't believe that anyone can hate squash. It's squash. Squash never did anything to you. Eat the squash. He tries the squash. He's like, nope, guess what? Still hate it. He has hated it all his life. All right. And when I say all his life, I mean even as a child. So his parents, aunts, uncles, and family thought it would be a great time when he was 5 years old at Christmas to take all of his Christmas gifts and hide them. And instead, they wrapped up a bunch of, go ahead and guess, everybody online, go ahead and if you could find a picture of a squash, I dare you, wrapped up a bunch of squash and gave it to him for Christmas. And so he would open one gift, and it was a squash. Next gift, I'm sure it was silly first one. Second one, he's five, remember that? All right. Second one, squash. Third one, squash. By the time it got to squash four or five, he was now in tears, and he was like, I don't trust these gifts. I don't trust these gifts. Can you see the analogy I'm trying to make? Because for some of us, good gifts given by good people can be misrepresented, misused, sometimes abused, or misunderstood. But I want to say to you today that you serve a good God that only gives good gifts to his children. In fact, in the Gospels, it says, if a good father will not withhold a good gift from their child, how much more would your heavenly Father withhold the good gift of the Holy Spirit to you? So today, I don't know what your history is knowing the Holy Spirit or understanding the gifts of the Spirit. Today, I want to assure you that they come from a good God and they are good. And that's really what I'm here to share with you today. I'm going to be talking out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll make reference to 13 and 14 a little bit here and there. If you want to take a moment to read this later, if you're online or even in the room, you can follow along some notes on your app or on the online platform. They're a little bit more comprehensive than what you'll see on the screen. But Paul is doing a course correction for the people in Corinth. See, they had already been exposed to the Holy Spirit. And when you read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, it's obvious that they are already operating in the gifts of the Spirit. But they started to get real sloppy about it. They started to not do it well. And they may have been giving it a bum rap, a little bit like the squash. And so Paul came in and he said, I need to recorrect and readdress this beautiful gift that belongs to the believer for the body of Christ so that we can get everything that heaven has for us. If you want everything heaven has for us, can you give the Lord a clap this morning? Online, will you declare that what he has is always good and we want every bit of it? Every bit of it. So I'm going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. I'm going to do the first portion because I believe that part is Paul making some correction. And I think there's some invitation for you and I to reevaluate the gifts. I don't care if you're moving in them every 5 minutes or you're like, I don't know what a gift is. I don't know who the Holy Spirit is. And how did I get here? Either way, I believe that there is an invitation for us to reevaluate and partner with Holy Spirit all over again. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And then the second part is going to be to talk about the gifts, although that really isn't my biggest point today. So let's start reading 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7, and then we'll go from there. And Paul says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Can you go ahead and say Jesus is Lord? Jesus is Lord. I just made sure the Spirit is in this house. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers. Say empowers. Empowers, empowers them all in everyone. Say everyone. Everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Can you say common good? I just have us repeat those words that I want us to stick in us because those are the ones that I think make all the difference. So I believe there's four things that Paul is trying to course correct for the church of Corinth, but I think will realign us again in understanding the gifts of the Spirit. The first one is simply this, do not be uninformed. One of two things generally happens with the things of the Holy Spirit. We don't have a clue, and so we avoid him at all costs. We don't have a clue, and we jump in head first, and it gets messy. What if we were informed about who he is and how he operates? And we would be much more effective partners with him to see his work done and his kingdom come here on earth. Paul was saying to the church of Corinth, make sure you understand fully what the Spirit is doing. I remember when I was in my young 20s just a couple years ago, I was starting to first learn about the gifts of the Spirit because I came up in a Pentecostal church, but the gifts were only for the special people. Only if the prophet came, you were like, oh. And maybe people could pray in tongues, maybe. But that was it. It was this or this, and nothing else was talked about. So I should have known, but I didn't know. I came to New Life. We were doing a discovery seminar, which is coming up. And I took a spiritual gifts inventory. And I began to realize that I had been moving in gifts of prophecy and of words of knowledge. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Since I was a kid, but I didn't know what it was. What I thought I was a good prayer. I just thought I knew how to pray. Because anytime I prayed for people, they would start to cry and they would be like, how did you know? And I said, no, what? I just prayed for you. Well, it wasn't till I became informed that I realized that there was a gift of revelation that the Lord was depositing in me, that when I would pray for people, I had insight that I didn't know I had. I just thought I was praying real good. Because I was uninformed. Today, church, I believe the Lord simply says, if you want to know Holy Spirit, get to know him. Learn more. Get around folks that know. I got around everybody who knew how to prophesy, who knew how to heal the sick, and I was like, I'm following you because I want to understand this. I want to know what there is to be known about God. Isn't it crazy that he wants us to know all the things? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit want to be known by humanity. And he says, come closer. There are three small things that I want to highlight about being uninformed or being more informed. The first one is simply this. The gifts of the Spirit are 100% initiated by the Holy Spirit. They are not your gifts. They are not something that you do. It is not something that you are particularly good at. It is a gift that is started and finished by the Holy Spirit 100%. Secondly, it is 100% partnership with you as a person. The Holy Spirit starts it, but he cannot move without your cooperation. And so when the Holy Spirit moves through me, it sounds a lot different than when he moves through Pastor Melvin. When he speaks through me, it sounds a lot different than it sounds when it comes from Ruth here at the Deep Creek campus. When he moves through me, it sounds very different than it sounds from Pastor Dana. Why? Because he uses my language. He uses my idiosyncrasy. Yep, that's what he does. He uses my vocabulary. He uses my excitement. He uses Tina. Go ahead and say he uses and insert your name. Ready? 1, 2, 3. He uses 100% his initiation, 100% your involvement. The gifts of the Spirit are not offices or appointments, though there are offices in the church. There are people that are gifts to the church out of Ephesians chapter 6. That is not that. And they're not particular gifts that belong to us, although those can be found in Romans 12, which are called the motivational gifts. This is not what I'm speaking of. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given to us in a moment for a time. Can you say that with me? In a moment for a time. And then the Holy Spirit can move on. All right, so do not be uninformed. Secondly, I believe Paul is saying to the people of Corinth, do not be afraid. This is when he's saying, listen, you used to be pagans and you saw some funky stuff out there. This is not that. Do not be afraid of the moving of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because only the Holy Spirit can exalt the name of Jesus. If you hear his name exalted and lifted up, you can rest assured that the good Spirit of the living God is at work. Secondly, the Holy Spirit always is motivated by love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know the love chapter that we all quote when we get married? Love is patient, love is kind, love is... It is not for weddings. Although God bless us, we need it. It is related to the gifts and the operation of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. What is supposed to motivate the gifts isn't so I look cool. It's so that you feel loved. It is not so that I am the powerful one. It's so that you know the powerful one knows your name, knows your story, and is moving on your behalf. When the Holy Spirit begins to move in healings for you, it isn't so that I get a checkmark credit because look what I can do. It is so that you know he cares about your whole being, mind, body, soul, and spirit. The Holy Spirit, you don't have to be afraid. Because he exalts the Savior. He's motivated by love. It always edifies the church. When the Holy Spirit is indeed moving, he is edifying, he is exhorting, he is comforting. You don't have to be afraid. Many of you have come to be afraid of the Holy Spirit because you've been called out. You've been chastised. You've been corrected in public settings. And I believe there's room for that, but not that way. That's not how Holy Spirit does. If you leave ashamed, that wasn't Holy Spirit. You should feel loved, cared for, and known. Do not be afraid 1 Corinthians 14 and 33 says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. When the Holy Spirit moves and his gifts are at work, there should be an evidence of his peace all around. And you don't have to be afraid, because Holy Ghost isn't going to just sit on you and all of a sudden make you start doing stuff that you didn't want to do. I know there's a misnomer that he just going to take me over. Unless you want him to, then he might. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says this, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. If you are not earnestly desiring them, he will not earnestly give them to you. But this is what he will do. He will patiently wait until you get hungry enough, until you become available enough, until you watch everybody else moving and walking with the Holy Spirit. You're like, well, how come he doesn't? What about me? And then Holy Spirit's like, I've been just sitting right here. Because remember, I'm not a skittish spirit. I don't move. Once I rest on you, I'm just waiting. And then we say, Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. I know that you're here. I know that you're moving. And then he begins to use you in unique ways, because he uses everybody as he sees fit. Number three, don't be jealous. Be informed, don't be afraid, but also don't be jealous. Do not covet other people's gifts. That's what was happening in the Corinthian church. It was relegated just to unique people, and the body felt left out. And they said, well, it's not for me, it's for everybody else but me. But today I want to remind you, you don't have to be jealous, because it says that there is a variety of gifts from the same Spirit to be poured out on the whole body. It says everybody. Go ahead and say everybody. There is no one disqualified who knows Jesus as Lord and has the Holy Spirit that cannot be used in the gifts of the Spirit. 100%. Everybody. It is the same Spirit. He gets the credit, not the person. So we don't have to be jealous of a person because they didn't do it anyways. And if they're taking credit, that's a whole other sermon for a whole other day. Because it is the Holy Spirit that releases his gifts in the moment for a time. The Word of God, the Pentecostal church used the term, it's the dancing hand of the Holy Spirit, which simply means when there is room for him to come, he chooses who he works through. He will rest on anyone that he wants to manifest his power, his presence, and his glory. And if you say yes, he will use you. Guess what? If you say no, he will bounce right over to the next one who's available and willing. If you wonder why he uses the same people a lot, it's generally because they are more willing to say yes, and they have practiced saying yes. Amen. You want to start, I know Deep Creek has a prophecy line that goes out the door. That's chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. We'll talk about that later. But that's not everybody in this room. It's because those who have said yes and have gotten used to what it feels like for him to say, will you? And you've said, absolutely, anytime. He wants to use everybody. So what do we do? We come with anticipation. Say anticipation. Anticipation. That the release of the gifts are happening right now. I come into this room, every day going, today, right now, he could start to talk. He could start to move. He could speak to me right now. He's got something, because he's Holy Spirit and heaven is big and everything that's in heaven is available to us through the Holy Spirit. He's got something. And he's asking, is today the day that you will be available so I can work through you? It is a gift of grace. These are gifts of grace. The charismata. Charism simply means grace. They're not something you earn, not something you work for, not something that you can do to get. It is simply you receive him and the gifts are available to you. And the fourth thing that I believe Paul was admonishing was not only don't be jealous, but the flip side is don't be greedy. What do I mean by don't be greedy? Well, if the gifts are for the common good, and I will not give what he gives me for the common good, I'm being greedy, aren't I? Because I'm saying, no. Saturday night service, I just preached this word, and at the end, Pastor Tanya came up, and she had felt like the Lord said something, and she shared what the Holy Spirit said. At the end of service, another woman in the church said, The Holy Spirit told me the same thing, but I spent too much time going, I wonder if I should go up. I probably shouldn't go up. I'm going to stay here. It's probably not that. I don't know what it is. And she goes, and then in the middle of my discussion, all of a sudden, Pastor Tanya starts speaking and says exactly what I heard Holy Spirit say. And so she said, I'm sorry. I said, don't say sorry to me. He's going to say what he's going to say. And so he's going to say, who's going to hear me? Or who can get to the mic faster? Listen, I do believe this. When the Holy Spirit is at move and everybody has ears to hear, it is possible for everybody to prophesy, which is why I think 1 Corinthians 14, if you haven't read that, read that, talks about doing everything in decency and in order, because the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, which means Holy Spirit does not bulldoze you, and there is no such thing as I have to, because he will say, we do it in order. And I'm going to share this with you, but if it's been shared, you too don't have to share it. It just means that you too have been sensitive to the Spirit, and I am speaking. And that's why Paul had to do the course correction. He said, two or three prophesy, because when you're in an environment where Holy Spirit is at work and everybody's hungry, everybody's open, everybody got something. Everybody. And there's only but so much time every day of our lives, whether you like it or not. We don't be greedy by sitting on it, but we also don't be greedy. Don't be greedy? That's not even good English. We don't be greedy. We're also not greedy by being the only one who does it all the time. We make room for our brothers and sisters who are also hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if you hear him all the time and you are moving in the Spirit all the time, may I encourage you to become a teacher and begin to raise up another group of folks who don't know how to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, don't know what to do, don't know what it feels like and how to operate it, so that you're not greedy with all the gifts. You are now empowering the church, because it is what? For the common good. Yeah. The common good. Paul uses words like manifestation, which requires action. It requires words and deeds. He says common good, it's for everyone when he is moving, and it's for the profit of all who are hearing. These are not self-oriented. It's never to exalt a person. It's always to reveal the glory of God. The Holy Spirit uses us to reveal the glory of God. So I believe that the same thing that Paul would say to Corinth, he would say to us today. Whether you've never been used by the Holy Spirit because you just didn't know, or it happens all the time, he recalibrates us and reminds us that the gifts are for everybody. They are for the building up of the body. Every member of the body. They are motivated by love, 1 Corinthians 13, and they are done in order in the body of Christ so that everybody profits. That's the gifts of the Spirit. The second part of 1 Corinthians 12 begins to lay out what the various gifts of the Holy Spirit are. And there are nine of them. And I would love to have a conversation with Paul one day in heaven, because he literally just says, here's the nine of them. And you feel like, Paul, you should have written an encyclopedia on each one so we do it right. But thank God that the Spirit of revelation and wisdom rests on his people, and we have experienced him. And so over the course of time, there's been explanations of what these gifts look like manifested in the body of Christ when done well. So let's go ahead and read verses 8 through 11, and we will highlight what these gifts look like. Verse 8, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance or word of wisdom, to another the utterance or word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Isn't it good to know there is only one Holy Spirit that releases all these gifts to the body of Christ? To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But this is my favorite verse in verse 11. All these are empowered. Say empowered. by one and the same Spirit who apportions. The word apportions is literally the word energizes. He's like the energizer that comes to each one. He says, I'm going to give you the energy, the wisdom, the power, the authority to do something on my behalf. Amen. It is heaven coming to earth through you. Go ahead, say, through me. He energizes us. It's not something you could work up. If you worked yourself up for it, it probably wasn't the Holy Spirit. He generally is just going to be talking to you. It's pretty chill. You don't got to work yourself up. He apportions to each one individually as he wills. It's as the Holy Spirit wills. Listen, this has been a thing I've been learning my whole life, and I've ministered in the gifts of prophecy and words of knowledge. But it is as he wills. Sometimes we'll be hanging out as pastors. Pastor Dan will lean over and say, you got something? And I'll be like, absolutely not. I got nothing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit didn't think that I was the one who was supposed to have anything in that moment. Now I know the word of God, so I can begin to declare his truth, which is a different kind of prophetic act, but it's not an in the moment for right now, because he's the one that brings the energy. All right, so I'm going to, in the next 10 minutes, praise the Holy Spirit, talk through the three, I'm going to categorize these gifts into three categories that have been traditionally used. You may have learned them differently. You may have seen them differently, and they're no particular order. They just fit really well this way. Are you ready for it? The first one is the gifts of revelation. Go ahead and say revelation. These are discerning gifts. These are the gifts that give us the power to know things that we would otherwise not know. These are the gifts that reveal to us the mind of Christ and the wisdom of heaven. The gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, which is a unique ability to speak forth the wisdom of God, especially in an important situation. You ever been somewhere where you're like, I don't have a clue what to do, and you stop long enough to say, Holy Spirit, I really don't know what to do. Maybe you are in a boardroom. Maybe you are leading a team at work, and you're literally stuck. And all of a sudden, what seems like out of nowhere, you know the exact strategy to employ. That is a word of wisdom. It doesn't have to be heebie-jeebie creepy in the middle of church. If you are the one that has the Holy Spirit in you and you ask for one who is giving it graciously and freely, he will share a word of wisdom to you wherever you might be. A word of knowledge gives you an understanding of something that is beyond what you would know in the moment. It can be facts, supernatural revelation of facts, past, present, or future, which were not learned through the efforts of the natural mind. That's the word of knowledge. Every so often, now when I used to be a good prayerer, I practice, and so now I know what it feels like or when the Holy Spirit is giving me a word of knowledge. But because it's as he wills, and he generally is not giving me a forenotice, because it's in the moment, the Spirit is moving, and I'll come up, and sometimes the Lord will simply highlight someone, and I'll start to see somebody a lot. There could be 200 people in a room, and somehow one person will stand out to me. I was like, why am I seeing that person? Why? I don't even know that person. And the Holy Spirit's like, you don't need to know them. I know them. They need something from me. Isn't it good to know the Holy Spirit? Usually these gifts are motivated because you need something, not because I do. And so if I'm obedient, I say, okay, because we've done this before, and I know what he feels like, and I'll say, you. And generally don't know the person's name, so it ends up being a shirt color or hair color, and the person's like, oh, this is awkward. And then they stand up, or I go to them, and then I begin to say in the moment what the Lord has for me, because I generally don't know it before I start saying it. And the more I say, the more he begins to reveal. And 99 out of 100 times, I go back and check on that person afterward and say, are you okay? Did that make sense? Was that? And they'll say, 100%. There's one person right now to this day, 7 years ago here at Deep Creek, they were sitting in the back. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge, and he has in many ways directed the course of the last 7 years based on that word of knowledge that I did not know. And he said that marked a shift for me and my whole family. That wasn't me. I don't even remember what I said. because I did not say it, Holy Spirit had a deposit for him. He's the one who needed to remember it. Okay, I spent too much time on that. But I want you to know it's normal. It doesn't feel weird. It's not like you got all like, oh my gosh. It's just a conversation that the Lord has. And the third one is the discerning of spirits, which simply is a revelation from heaven of the spirits in a space or in a time. You can discern in your heart if something is happening with the thrust of God, the thrust of man, or the thrust of the enemy. And you can make decisions based on the discerning of spirits. This is not intuition, but I'm convinced that mamas who pray all have a spirit of discernment. Go ahead, bless you mamas. If you're a mama online and you know you have the spirit of discernment, you have prayed through some stuff because you saw it, go ahead and put a dove up in that feed, because my mom had it. She said, you can't play with that kid anymore. Why, mom? Don't ask why. Just don't. Yes, mom. I got you. The second grouping of gifts is the power or the dynamic gifts. Say power. Jesus moved in signs and wonders often, but if you read through it, he didn't do it all the time because he moved as the Father invited him and the Spirit was working through him. Even Jesus did not heal all. He healed those who were available as the Spirit led him. There are three, the gifts of healing. The word gifts means there are multiple kinds of healing gifts that are every time someone gets healed, it's a new release of a gift. Does that make sense? It's not like I get a release and now I get to heal everybody. It's if the Holy Spirit gives me the gift of healing and I pray for you, in that moment, that one gift goes to that one healing. Now, he will release another gift if there's a second healing that is needed, but each individual healing requires its own release of grace. This does not stop us from praying for the sick all the time, because Jesus, by his stripes, we are healed. But this is a different impartation that is in the moment partnered with the gift of faith. What does the gift of faith mean? It says the impossible should not happen, but you cannot tell me it will not happen in this moment. I'm going to tell you that the Lord is moving. It is a unique gift that is given in a time for a situation where you normally would doubt, but for some reason you cannot doubt that he's going to do something. I had COVID and I was in a hospital for 6 days, oxygen tube, IV. I was really sick. And I say that with a little bit of a smile because Pastor Kevin has been asking my husband and me, when is Tina going to testify? And I keep saying, I have nothing to testify about. He's like, what do you mean? You were in the hospital with COVID with the things. And this is why, and this, as I was preparing for this message, I realized, oh God, thank you, Holy Spirit. While I was in the hospital, evidently super duper sick, I never for one moment thought I was super duper sick. I never for one moment, not one moment was anxious. I was not one moment did not feel, I napped well. I ate a lot of food up in that hospital. I slept, I ate, I texted, I chatted, I encouraged my husband, I encouraged my mom, I encouraged my sister, everybody who was like, oh my gosh, you're gonna be okay. And I'm like, I'm fine. Meaning I got breathing tubes, I got all this stuff. And it didn't, until this message, I realized, oh my gosh, I had an impartation of the gift of faith resting on me for 6 days when the doctor would tell my husband, she has a 50% chance to make it through this. And not for one moment did I believe that to be true. I knew I was going to be just fine. I just needed someone to let me go home. And that was the gift of faith. That was not of me. That was not of me. In fact, I didn't even know until now that is what the Lord had done in that moment. My husband to this day still looks at me and goes, you had no idea how sick you were. And I'm like, apparently not. And I don't need to know. You keep those records and files to yourself. I'm going to keep walking in faith. Hallelujah. But that's not because I was special. It just happened to be how the Holy Spirit wanted. And why? So I could testify to you today for the common good that the Holy Spirit can do that for you just as well as he did for me. And the spirit of faith, the gift of faith, usually partners with miracles and the gifts of healings, because you got to have faith to release healing. Otherwise, it won't happen. And I'm going to move to the last one, and I'm about to close. If the musicians want to come, Pastor Melvin and Pastor Dana, if you prepare yourselves. The final cluster that I would call are the speaking or utterance declarative gifts. These are the power to speak. These are the ones that are probably most active in the church. They're most active here at New Life. And we recognize them. Those are the gifts of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Prophecy is simply releasing divine information from heaven. It is not foretelling, it is forthtelling. It is declaring the goodness of God. It's declaring his plans and purposes that he reveals in a moment. Next week, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. But tongues is a divine language that is a Holy Spirit language that is divinely given to mankind if they want it. It is a way for us to speak. It's the Spirit's own self-expression. But in the gifts of the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, they always come in partnership with the interpretation of tongues. Tongues has two components. One is devotional. That's between you and Holy Spirit, you and the Father. That's where you pray and he hears. The one that is a gift of the Spirit for the body must be interpreted. Otherwise, the body won't know. It's just for your edification, but it doesn't benefit the body. And so if you're praying in tongues out loud and someone says, do you have it? And you say, I don't have one. Either someone needs to, or it's time for you to go devotional in your prayer language. And that's okay. That's not out of order. Because when it's for the good of everybody, they need to understand. And oftentimes the one who speaks in tongues has the interpretation. Oh, church, there's no better way to do life than to do it in partnership with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? If you're here or you're online, we are going to, in just a moment, transition into time of receiving the Lord's Supper. And it seems fitting today to receive the Lord's Supper in an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is moving. Because when we take the body and the cup, not only do we remember what Jesus has done for our salvation, but what he released for us to receive heaven here on earth. And maybe when you come to the Lord's table, you might make this a place of encounter for you and the Holy Spirit to simply say, Lord, not only do I want to remember what Jesus did, I want you to use me for everything that you want to do here on earth through your power. If you would agree with that, would you simply say amen here and online? Amen. I now release the service to the campus pastors.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed our sermon today. I hope that you were inspired and challenged. And maybe you have a question about something that you heard in the message today, or maybe you need prayer. We would love to take the time to pray with you and answer any questions that you might have. All you need to do is simply send us an email to online@newlife.global, and we would love to connect with you. Well, be sure to subscribe to our channel. You should see the link right over here somewhere, and turn those notifications on. That way you are notified every single time we go live on YouTube. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you on the next video. Take care.